Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. Welcome to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's Friday, February 25th, 2011, and time for our Friday question and answer program. Stay with us for Sound Words with Paul Molnar. Hello, I'm Tom Booth. Welcome to our Friday broadcast of Sound Words with Paul Molnar. Fridays are special days for us when we take a break from the teaching and take some time to answer your questions. And before we begin today, a reminder that if you have a question related to theology, the church, or something you've heard on our daily broadcasts, we'd love to hear from you. There are several ways you can get us your questions. You can call our toll-free question line at 855-855-WORD. That's 855-855-WORD. You can send an email to paul@soundwordsradio.com. That's paul@soundwordsradio.com. Or you can write us at Sound Words Radio, P.O. Box 30321, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27130. And we'll do our best to answer your question on a future Friday broadcast. And today, a couple of good questions related to children. And Paul, we begin with a question from Sharon in Winston-Salem, who writes, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I want to introduce her to the Bible in a way she can understand. A friend lent me some VeggieTales DVDs, but I'm concerned about the messages she'll get. What do you think about VeggieTales?
The question of VeggieTales is an interesting one, and as a parent of a 2-year-old boy and a little girl on the way, it is a question that is regularly on the mind of myself and my wife as we think about how we're going to raise our children and the kinds of things that we'll allow them to watch. Let me first give a little bit of an apologetic for the issue here, which is to say we need to be very gracious in how we answer questions like this and in how we treat people who have thought about these questions and answered them differently than we do. I don't think that there is an absolute right answer in all circumstances in terms of our children and what they're allowed to watch or not allowed to watch or hear or not allowed to hear. I do think some choices are wiser than others. Some choices are more carefully thought through than others. But we want to be careful not to think that our way is the only way, no matter where we come down on these. I don't think these are issues of biblical imperatives as much as they are exercises in wisdom. Now, with VeggieTales, we have a bit of an interesting situation. On the one hand, there's a lot positive that we could say about what the creators of VeggieTales are trying to do. And I should say that as we talk about VeggieTales, at least for the purposes of this question, I'm thinking more of the specific Bible stories, perhaps the older VeggieTales, whereas now they're doing a lot of not biblical stories, just stories that are intended to teach good morals or good principles, but not related to Bible characters. And I understand this question to ask more about the Bible stories side of things. They are trying to do something positive. They're trying to teach our children stories from the Bible in a way that engages them, in a way that's understandable to them. They're not making fun of the Bible. They're not mocking Bible characters or its veracity. And so that's to be commended. We do appreciate when anyone tries to teach children the message of the Bible. But the bigger issue here, I think, is one that affects not just the cartoons that we allow our children to watch, but quite a lot of what happens in and around the church and in and around children's ministry. And that's the question of whether or not the method affects the message. The worship wars, so-called, are really all about this issue. Is all music neutral and only the words matter? Or does the style of music itself, the presentation of those words, affect the message? I've got a good friend who uses the example of the hymn, Holy, 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 and how we could sing that hymn a certain way, with a piano or with an organ or with a guitar in a worship service, and it conveys something that's truthful about God. But then if we take a balloon filled with helium and suck down that helium and sing holy, 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 sounding like the chipmunks, we've communicated something rather different. So in that extreme example, the method does affect the message. Now back to VeggieTales. This is one of those cases where, in my opinion, the method does affect the message in a way that is detrimental to the message. We don't watch VeggieTales in our home. We don't let our kids do that, and that's an intentional choice. And it's because the method that's used to communicate these Bible stories is a silly and trivial method. Now, I'm not opposed to cartoons. If my child wants to watch the Mickey Mouse Club, or my child wants to watch Garfield or some other cartoon, within certain boundaries, we allow that. You have to be very careful today because so many cartoons seem to trade on sarcasm or sexual humor or all kinds of things that you don't want your kids to hear. But those things aside, there's nothing wrong with cartoons. But cartoons, by their very nature, are entertainment. The goal of that product, of that method of communication, is to entertain. And life is full of things that ought to be entertaining, and our kids ought to be able to enjoy lives that are filled with entertainment. Where I think the problem comes with VeggieTales is the blending of entertainment with Christian education or worship even. Now, when I talk about worship in this sense, I'm not talking about what we do on Sunday morning or what I would call worship proper, but all of life is to contain elements of worship, insofar as in every area of life, we're supposed to think correctly about God and about ourselves and about sin and about redemption and about life. And those are things that are to be handled seriously. Educating your child on the things that are taught in the Bible is one aspect of life. Entertaining your child, things that happen just for amusement, are another aspect of life. I think we send very mixed messages when we try and combine or conflate and ultimately confuse those two very different goals and aspects of life. You know, the author Douglas Wilson has written a lot of books. I don't agree with everything he's ever written, but I think he's right on when he talks about VeggieTales. I'm going to read just a small section from his book called A Primer on Worship and Reformation. He writes, "And then there are the VeggieTales. What is the issue here? That would become abundantly clear if someone seriously suggested a VeggieTales version of Beowulf or Lord of the Rings or Prince Caspian. Modern evangelicals are reverent of everything except their religion. Just try to picture Aragon as a cucumber. What does that do to the ethos of the thing? Or imagine Aslan as a beet. We couldn't do that, they say. It would wreck the story. I see. Apparently, as far as modern evangelicals are concerned, the Bible doesn't have a story to wreck. If misguided evangelicals were to try to bridge current tensions by making a VeggieTales version of the Koran, they would all be in hiding because of the fatwa declared against them. In short, the Muslims would respond with outrage over what had been perpetrated on their holy book. But we are not outraged for two reasons. First, we are clueless, and second, we did it to ourselves." Wilson continues, "Folks defend VeggieTales because they inculcate biblical moral values. But such values, apart from reverence for who God is, are nothing but hollow moralism. And moralism is always morally impotent. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, including all moral wisdom. And that fear cannot be effectually made obsolete by means of cute cartoon characters." I think Wilson's point is right on the money here. It's not enough to teach our children simply Christian values if we haven't taught them reverence and love for Christ. We don't want our kids to walk around being good just for the sake of being good. We want our kids to love Christ. And when the characters in Bible stories are presented as vegetables and cartoonish figures that really make a mockery out of the biblical story, I think we have a very hard time saying that what we're teaching our kid is reverence and awe, for they worship a consuming fire. Again, we need to be careful with how we handle this, and we need to be gracious in the way we discuss this issue and think about it with others. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and we'll do it without the help of VeggieTales.
Great question and a thoughtful answer, Paul. And our next question is from Joseph in Lexington. How do I know when my children are ready for big church?
I'm so glad that both of our questions today deal with covenant children and how we think about our kids and raise our kids. And it's an encouraging thing as a pastor to hear parents who are thinking through these issues and concerned and recognize that the decisions they make do have tremendous importance in the life of their kids going forward. The issue of church and when our kids should be in church is one that every parent faces, and we walk a delicate balance here. On the one hand, we understand that it would be better for our children to be with us, as children have always been included in the covenant throughout the Bible. Children in Old Testament Israel were not excluded from worship. Children in New Testament house churches were not excluded from worship. And we do well not to exclude our children today. But kids are kids. And sometimes the littlest kids can have a very hard time not just paying attention in the worship service, but not being a distraction in the worship service. That's really where I think the answer to this question lies. I am always going to advocate as a pastor and as a father and a churchman that your children be in the worship service as soon as they are able. I'm not in favor of things like children's church that essentially segregate our congregations on the basis of age. I'd much rather our children of every age be in corporate worship with the people of God. And yet, I have a little one myself, and I know sometimes that he simply will not go 45 minutes without making some kind of noise that would be distracting to a large body. I encourage parents to train their children at home. Try and teach your kid to have 45 minutes or an hour of time where they draw quietly or play with toys in their lap or do something that prevents them from being a distraction to others. I think the goal should be, as early as possible, to train our children to be in worship without being a distraction. This can be done with children as young as 2, 3, and 4 years old. Now again, this is an issue where we have to be tremendously gracious. Not every child is the same. Not every parent is the same in terms of how they're able to teach their kids these things and at what age. And so we need to let parents make these decisions for their own children and not make these decisions for them or pass judgment on them for the decisions that they do make. But we also don't want to use the distraction principle as a cop-out either. There are plenty of adults who do distracting things in worship, whether it's women digging in their purse for the perfect breath mint or piece of gum, or men that I've sat next to or near in worship who read entire chapters of their Bible during the service. So we don't want to make excuses for our kids, but I think we ought to do everything we can to not unnecessarily exclude them from the body of Christ either.
Thanks, Paul. A couple of really good questions today. And if you have a question you would like Pastor Paul to answer on a future Friday Q&A broadcast, there are several ways you can get them to us. Our voicemail box number is toll-free 855-855-WORD. That's 855-855-WORD. Or you can send an email to paul@soundwordsradio.com. That's paul@soundwordsradio.com. Or you can mail your question to Sound Words, P.O. Box 30321, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27130. We'll be back next Friday to answer some more questions, and we invite you to join us again Monday afternoon at the same time for more teaching from God's Word. Until then, for Paul Molnar, I'm Tom Booth. Have a blessed weekend and Lord's Day. You've been listening to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Sound Words is a ministry of Covenant of Grace, and these daily broadcasts are made possible by the prayers and financial gifts of our listeners. Visit us online at soundwordsradio.com. Check out show notes and find links to helpful resources related to our broadcasts. And there's information about supporting this radio ministry with your tax-deductible gifts. In exchange for your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you a pair of books from the Basics of the Reformed Faith series. Our web address again is soundwordsradio.com. And we would love to have you worship with us this week. Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church is located at 508 Harvey Street in Winston-Salem. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10:30. I hope you'll join us again Monday as Paul begins a new study titled God's Holy Law. Until then, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.